Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Okay, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
It's Daniel Bard. It's
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball is
baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring.
All right, we are live. This is What Happened To. Obviously, we are talking San Diego Padres today. We got Ben Fadden here joining us again for a recap of what's gone down in San Diego. Thanks for joining us, Ben. And before we get started, I know you got some stuff where people can find you online. So let the people know where to find you.
Yeah, Talking Friars on social media, Instagram, X, and then my YouTube podcast. You'll just obviously search up Talking Friars and you'll see it there. Daily talking about the Padres, game clips, usually during games. I'll put those out. So yeah, just check out that stuff there. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. And I mean, we'll just jump right into it. Obviously we're talking Padres today. I was watching the game last night and obviously the Padres couldn't pull it out in extras, but it really felt like a playoff atmosphere down in San Diego. But I'll throw it over to you. How are you feeling going into the last few weeks of the season here, obviously with wild card implications and playoff on the line here?
Yeah, yesterday, man, that was a wild game. It felt like a playoff game for sure. Yeah, I was not at the game, but I was watching at home. And yeah, just the back and forth, how close it was. But just to get to your question, yeah, I feel good about where this Padres team is at. You know, yesterday, it was easy for me to look at that loss. Even though it was a loss, it's easy for me to look at it glass half full instead of glass half empty, because the Padres, they're still in a good spot. They're going to make the postseason. They're 86-66. I mean, 20 games over 500, considering, you know, everything that was going into the season. They've got the, 4.5 game lead on a playoff spot. Like, I'm feeling good. It seems like, I know we still got the D-back series coming up, but we're in a good spot to host the wild card series. You look at the bullpen depth that AJ Preller has assembled this year. I think that's been great. You're getting contributions from role players like Donovan Solano, like David Peralta. Obviously, having Jurickson Profar and Fernando and Manny and Jackson Merrill, who should win the Rookie of the Year offensively. I mean, Bogaerts has been pretty good as well. Obviously, you have Luis Arraez, who, you know, just doesn't strike out, except these last couple of nights, which has been weird to watch. But there's just so much talent. Then with the rotation, I've been talking about this now for days and days and days on my show. The four starters the Padres have, with Cease, King, and Musgrove, and Darvish, there's only three guys that are going to be starting maybe in that wild card series. And to have one of those guys not start, that's a luxury. That's a great problem to have. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with someone the other day, and their pitching staff, it was a Dodger fan, their pitching staff obviously has dealt with a lot of injuries. And I was texting with them. It's like, the guy that doesn't start in the wild card series for the Padres, he might be the Dodgers ace, you know, game one in a division series for them. So I feel very confident in this Padres team, in a good spot. And I think I feel better about this team going into this postseason than I did the 2022 team.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're firing on all cylinders. Obviously, you know, last night couldn't pull off the W, but that's just how it goes, you know. But the pitching staff, like you said, with Dylan Cease and, you know, Yu Darvish being back, Michael King, I mean, it's a powerhouse pitching staff, and even the offense as well. It's what, when they signed all those guys and, you know, they have all these prospects coming up, you're finally getting to see it come to fruition. It seems like everyone is putting up pretty decent numbers. It seems like the camaraderie's there, that the fans want a playoff run. The team wants a playoff run, and it seems like they're kind of coming together at the right time. And I think they are one of the most dangerous teams to go into the playoffs here, especially because they're most likely going to be, I think, definitely going to be a wild card team. I'm not sure how many they're back in the division, but definitely a wild card team here. But an absolute, like, scary team to see if you are a wild card team going in there and having to go into San Diego for that. But when it comes to expectations for this year, this is something I've been asking everyone regarding their team. I'll just throw it over to you. What were your expectations, and did they exceed them? Are they kind of not getting there to what you wanted? Obviously not going to win the division, but when it comes to expectations, where are you at with the Padres this year?
I'm not closing the door totally. It's almost closed. I'm not closing it totally on winning the division because there's still the possibility there with the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers, they lost to the Marlins the other night. It would have been great if the Padres would have won last night, obviously. But yeah, with my expectations going into this year, it was make the postseason. If you don't make the postseason, there's jobs that are going to be on the line, obviously. This team was talented going in. They have outperformed my expectations. I think a lot of Padres fans' expectations going into this year, because there were questions. There was, similar to Seth Lugo going into last year with Michael King, was he going to be able to stay healthy as a starter? How many innings, how many starts? And he has been great for the Padres. Didn't have Dylan Cease, didn't have Luis Arraez, you know, a couple weeks before the season started when a lot of us were talking about this stuff. So expectations have changed then, you know, what it was at the beginning of the season. I think at the beginning of the season, it was make the postseason and then see what happens. You obviously want to go on a run, but just with the pieces that they had, I wasn't feeling like, oh yeah, they're going to win 90 plus games and, you know, NLCS like minimum. Where I feel like that's what the expectation is now for this Padres team. But again, they've added a bunch of pieces. Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez, the back of the bullpen, other than Robert Suarez, I mean, Jason Adam, Tanner Scott. And then other guys, smaller name guys, have performed like Jeremiah Estrada that fans probably didn't know a ton about going into the season. Jake Cronenworth has had a little bit of a bounce back season. But, you know, you have Xander Bogaerts who gets hurt, but then he comes back and he's performing pretty well. Manny got off to a slow start, but he's looking like the 2022 should have won NL MVP, Manny Machado. Jackson Merrill, there was the question mark there of, was he going to be ready right when he came up at the big league level, right out of the gate? What was that going to look like? And he's not just ready. He's one of the Padres' best players. So, I think expectations have changed with this team. And they're higher than what they were at the beginning of the season. But when I was on with you at the beginning, yes, they have totally outperformed, I think, those expectations. And I don't think you can be like a real Padres fan and be disappointed with what you've seen this year, looking back at what maybe you thought this team was going to be at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I hadn't really thought about that, but just all the moves and from the beginning of the season, you get a guy like Dylan Cease. It's hard to even think that he was on the Chicago White Sox. Like, yeah. I forgot. He just fits in so naturally. He's having such a great year as well. But yeah, man, with Merrill coming up and performing, obviously, at elite levels, rookie of the year levels here, or second place rookie of the year levels, I guess, for most of the people I see on Twitter. But yeah, man, the expectations definitely have changed. It seems like they definitely are a contender to go late into the playoffs here. But like you said, with Manny Machado performing at, you know, MVP levels here, they're scary, man. But I'll throw it back to you with the Jackson Merrill Rookie of the Year conversation, because I see a lot of it on Twitter, and I'm very curious. Obviously, I know who you're choosing, but there's a lot of discourse, friendly discourse. I don't think anyone's really getting too fired up about it. But what's your case for the Rookie of the Year in San Diego?
Yeah, if I was a Pirates fan and I had Paul Skeens, I'd be pointing to like the rookie, the hype that he had to live up to, the numbers, because he's had a really good year as well. But for me, someone that shows up to work every day and plays every day, and I don't think this is talked about enough, how he was a shortstop. He was changing positions to go to left field in spring training. Then in spring training, while they were in Peoria, they said, no, go to center field. We have Profar for left. And I mean, Profar, what a heck of a season he's had too. But Merrill, so he changes to center field, a position he hasn't played. And I mean, if you're watching the game just last night, he's looking great in center field with some of the routes that he's taking to these balls. And then offensively, I think going into the year, I was thinking, okay, maybe he's going to give you 10 home runs. That would be cool. The guy is at 24 home runs. He has a 126 OPS plus. He has an 820 OPS. He's slugging 500. He's almost hitting 300. And this is a guy that was at the bottom of the order, and now he is hitting in the middle of this Padres lineup, ahead of someone like Xander Bogaerts, ahead of someone like Jake Cronenworth, right behind guys like Arise and Tatis and Manny, like, and Profar. I mean, it's super impressive what he has done. And again, he's doing it every day. And you can see his impact if you're watching Padres games on a nightly basis. Paul Skenes, and it's not his fault, but this is just what it is. I've said this on my show. I think that there should be a pitcher rookie of the year and a position player rookie of the year. Us comparing Paul Skenes and Jackson Merrill is just stupid because they don't play the same position. You're just not comparing the same two things. It's one thing to compare a shortstop and a center fielder. It's another thing to compare a guy that's trying to get you out to the guy that's trying to hit a homer off you. It's just, you can't compare it. But for me, the argument for Jackson Merrill is an easy one. I mean, he's helping his team make the postseason, have a much better year than last year. If Jackson Merrill was on last year's team, that team would have been in the postseason. They missed the postseason by a couple of games, and they were still so bad last year in one-run games, in extra innings. And Merrill has come up clutch in those situations. He's hit a walk-off homer against Edwin Diaz and Mason Miller this year. Like, this guy's just a stud. Everything that he says post-game, pre-game, he has the right mentality. It's about the team. He doesn't care about the awards, but he should be getting one real soon here.
Yeah, it's a good point. I've thought of that before with the, it's like we have the Cy Young, we have the MVPs, we have the Silver Sluggers, but when it comes to Rookie of the Year, it's just one. But yeah, there should be some kind of excellence award. But either way, they've both had unbelievable seasons. And yeah, man, there's been some defensive highlights I've seen of Jackson Merrill where I got to like rewind it and watch it five times in a row. It's super impressive what he's doing out there. But before we wrap this up, I do want to throw it back to you and ask the question I've been asking everybody, but you know, keep it short. We've kind of talked about it pretty much this whole time, but in your eyes, what happened this year with the 2024 San Diego Padres, and what are you looking forward to in the next month with the San Diego Padres?
Well, what happened this year was collective buy-in, guys doing what the game demands. It does not matter who it is up the plate. It could be Manny Machado. It could be someone, you know, Tyler Wade, last guy in the, it does not matter. Whether you're pinch running, whether you're in a huge spot, whether you're on the mound, you come in any situation, there's a collective buy-in that was not there last season. And it's the role players. AJ Preller has done a tremendous job with actually having quality depth, not just names, but quality guys that will come in, make it a good clubhouse, good environment, and they will perform on the field. This year, the Padres have gotten guys back at the right time, and guys are performing well at the right time. It just feels like this is a real team this year, and that's where the success is. I mean, obviously, it helps to have star talent, but it's the others as well. It's the Jurickson Profars. It's the Jackson Merrills. It's guys like that. It's the Jeremiah Estradas that have come in and really helped this team this year. And what I'm excited for coming up is to see how far this Padres team can go. This city obviously is dying for that World Series that we've never been able to experience. 2022 was awesome, but they didn't finish the job. And us Padres fans, we will always remember that changeup that Robert Suarez hung to Bryce Harper and what would have happened, you know, if that pitch wasn't thrown, or if Hader would have been willing to, you know, go into the game in that situation, whatever. It's always a what if. And we don't want that what if anymore. We want that World Series. I'm confident where this team is at, and I'm just excited for these postseason moments. They've got some electric players, really fun players to watch on this team. And are they going to be able to, I don't know if they'd shock the world, because I think, yeah, like baseball fans, they know that, yeah, the Padres, they're a dangerous team. But the Padres, they're not looked at as the team to beat. They're not looked at as the second team to beat, or maybe even the third team to beat. So they're still an underdog. And so how far can they go with Mike Schilt at the helm? He's been huge as well. just the collective buy-in and wanting to win for San Diego. You know, obviously Peter Seidler passing away in the offseason, winning for him. I'm just excited to see what this team can do.
Yeah, man, that's actually something that I thought you said it really well at the beginning there, that I haven't heard from anyone else, but collective buy-in, I mean, as a former player, that'll make or break a team. Even if, I mean, obviously you guys have superstars on the Padres here, but collective buy-in is what, you know, makes a championship team. That's, you know, you can pay for all your guys, but having everybody with a collective mindset and guys who are willing to do whatever it takes to win, such as Jackson Merrill learning a new position to get in the lineup and do what he can. But I definitely agree with that. And I think that's a dangerous thing for an opposing team to have to come into and face. But yeah, man, I'm excited to watch him play. I would like to see him knock some people out this year. And it would be cool to see him get their first ring. But yeah, man, one more time, Ben, before we get out of here, thanks for joining us and let the people know where they can find you. I know you said it at the beginning, but in case they don't follow you, hit him with that one more time.
Yeah, at Talking Friars on socials, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And then YouTube, podcast platform, same thing. Usually after every game, most games, I have a post-game reaction. And then at the end of series, I go live to talk with other fans. Other Padres fans can join the show as well. So I think it's a great spot for Padres fans to give their thoughts on the team that we all love. And so, yeah, I'd love it for anyone listening to join.
Sweet. Well, Ben, thanks again for joining us. We're excited to watch the Padres. And if you guys are listening right now, you already know the deal. This is Baseball Isn't Boring. My name is Reese Green, and this was What Happened to the San Diego Padres. We will see you next time, folks.